Support for Native American Public Telecommunications comes from the Ford Foundation on the web at fordfound.org.
This is Zach Oliva, NAPT Production Assistant in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thanks for tuning in to this Eros Native Network producer profile. Michelle Danforth is an Emmy-nominated Oneida filmmaker living in Wisconsin. She is currently working as both an independent producer and a finance and marketing manager for a nonprofit organization. I recently spoke with Michelle about her very busy filmmaking career. Here's the interview from December 2007.
When did you decide that being a producer is something that you wanted to do?
When I decided that I wanted to be an actual producer was probably about 7 years ago. And I had already completed a college degree as an accountant, and I was working as an accountant. But I don't know, I always had this thing where I wanted to learn more about TV and film, and so I took a part-time job and with Wisconsin Public Television and actually got interested in doing other things. It's always been there.
When did you decide that this was definitely something that you wanted to pursue with your career, like it became not just an idea but something that was definitely going to happen?
I think it was after I finished my first documentary, and I had to do it all myself, everything from the camera work to the editing, and I was able to produce a story that was actually very well received. And I still work in another field also, because that helps pay the bills until you actually get, you know, very established and you can do it on your own. But my focus has always been, if you want to do it, you go and do it. And it was something that I wanted to do, and I've worked really hard to get to where I am today.
What kind of projects do you spend most of your time doing now?
Currently, I am working on a civil rights documentary, which is very exciting. It's turned into a real exciting piece, and I'm working with Frank Blythe and Sid Bean. And I have another piece that will go into production next year that is on the game of lacrosse, and I'm working with Patty Lowe out of Madison, Wisconsin on that. If everyone remembers, she just did We Are the Warrior, and it was a very nice piece. Those are the two pieces that are keeping me mainly focused. One of my future goals is to actually do a feature film piece and step out of the documentary world and do more with feature film.
Well, you mentioned having two jobs. What's a regular day like in your line of work? How busy are you? What do you do during the course of a day?
Well, mainly during the course of the day, I work as a finance and marketing manager for a nonprofit agency who works with people with disabilities. So my main focus during the day is really the marketing and all of those other things. But I'm very fortunate that I have a very flexible job. So, you know, there's times during the day when I have to work on my films and stuff like that. But it's all about time management, and sometimes there's very early mornings, and I have to do updating with my films and the scripts, and then there's, you know, late nights, and it's a constant just being able to juggle and do that time management, and it's really worked out really well. And my boss is very understanding, so I'm a very fortunate individual.
Are you trying to get to the point where you're completely into film and kind of get out of your other job, or are you going to try to stick with both for a long time? What are your plans there?
Well, the ultimate goal was that to be a producer that you could live anywhere, you know, because of the computers and fax machines and you name it, that you could produce anywhere. And I still firmly believe that, and that's really the path that I want to be in. But in today's age, you know, with family and needing health insurance and all of those other things, those are very expensive things to actually have to afford on your own. And so, you know, this is kind of my counter for right now with the health insurance and everything else to make sure that my family is well taken care of. But ultimately, you know, I foresee probably in 3 or 4 years that hopefully I will just be independent, and that's all I'll be doing.
What do you go through when you're choosing, when you're working on your films? What's the consideration process like when you're deciding which ones to take, which ones to do, and which ones maybe not to do?
Well, the two pieces that I'm doing now, the one that's on the game of lacrosse, it was really weird. I have this ability that I'm very fortunate that it's like I can see these scenes happening, and my son is very involved in lacrosse. And just by chance for this piece, I happened to be in Canada, and I mean, I was just sitting in a chair watching these young kids play, and the Six Nation kids were playing, and this guy came over and he handed me a brochure that was on the World Lacrosse Championships. And I opened it up, and I'm like, wow, the Iroquois Nationals. And it was all of a sudden, at that moment, I was like, this has to be my next documentary. And it took 3 years to get it to where it is today. You know, I think it's what you really want to do. I've been very fortunate. The civil rights piece that I'm working on with Frank and Sid, it was so intriguing, and it's so much about our history and about the power of us standing up that it was like, I couldn't even turn that down. I really wanted to do that one. But I think it's part of its time. You know, what do you have time for? And then the second thing is, you know, what can you really bring to a project? And I think my creativity with scenes and editing and stuff like that, I could really bring some good stuff to that project. So that's kind of how I choose. I mean, it's just, I think you have to have that feeling like, this is it, this is the piece I want to do.
Is it usually like that, where it's just an immediate, just clicks in your head, like, this is something I really want to do? Or sometimes you have to think about it, or is there a consideration?
Usually it's two things. It's the time, you know, is the timing right? Because if you're too busy, you can't do it. I mean, then you can't do it. But, and yeah, the other thing is it clicks in your head, and all of a sudden it's just like, wow, I really want to do that. And usually when I do a project, you know, I give it my all because I want it to be the best that it can be, because we need to be able to continue and grow and grow more Native producers to tell those Native stories. And hopefully someday I'll be able to give back to some individuals who want to learn. And that's one of my other focuses, is to be able to give back.
You mentioned that. Do you see a lot of young Native Americans getting into the field of film and producing?
You know, I'm in Wisconsin, so Wisconsin's a little different. In Minneapolis and Chicago, I mean, they have more of the ability to grow that talent. And being in Wisconsin, you're not as exposed to those types of things. I mean, I have a family now, so it's hard for me just to pick up and say, oh, I want to go to Minneapolis and live there. You know, you have to think about things. But for any younger person who doesn't have a family and that's the career they want to take, it's like, go for it. Because, you know, you've got to go and do what you got to do to get that experience and that learning.
Do you think that it's important for Native Americans everywhere, that more Native Americans are involved in film, that they're getting into that field?
I think more Native Americans should get involved with film. You know, there's all these stories to be told and histories to be recorded. And the perfect example is with our tribe currently, with the Oneidas in Wisconsin. Our tribal historian, she's 72 years old, and she is just this amazing person with an amazing mind for history, our history. And she's very sick right now. So what happens when she's gone? It's gone. I think that the more younger people, I mean, even older people, if you want to do it. If you're older, that's great, too, because I'm older, too. I really think that if there's a person who wants to learn film, that they should do it. And I also think that the more films and the more documentaries and the more established programs that we get out on the air, the better we just better the community by breaking stereotypes about who we are.
In your opinion, what's the best part about producing films?
My favorite part is when it's finished. No, I'm kidding. Well, part of my favorite part is to be able to, after you finish a film, when you get to stand in the back of the room and you're all nervous because you're just wondering if people are going to like it, and you know, and then they love it, and you're able to pass on a message or give somebody inspiration. That's part of the best part. It's hard work, and people don't never realize how hard a work it is to create a film and create those scenes, you know, working second by second. But that's all hard, and at the time it's very stressful. But, you know, when the project is complete and you're standing in the back of the room and you're just like, wow, these people are enjoying this piece, that's the best part.
What advice do you have for young people that are trying to get into creating films?
If I had to give some advice, what I would probably say is the best advice that I got was when I first started working with Wisconsin Public Television. The engineer said if I really wanted to be a really good producer, I should learn how to edit and also learn how to shoot. You don't have to be an expert in either of them, but you should really know what each of those aspects of creating a film are. And it has really helped me, because as a producer, if you don't know how to edit, you don't have that end product completely in mind. And that's one of the things. The second one is, you know, even if somebody says no to a proposal or a different project, just keep going. Keep working at it. Keep refining your skills, and just never give up.
How did you improve your editing? Specifically, what would you work on?
What I would do is I would actually create short documentaries, and I would do it all on my own time. It wasn't while I was actually on the clock for Wisconsin Public Television, but, you know, find a subject. It can be really anything. It could be a family member. It could be something in your community, but find a subject to work with and create a short piece. Start with making a 15-minute piece, making a half-an-hour piece, and keep building because, you'll keep learning and adjusting. It's always nice if you can find some professionals that are out in the community that can help you with your skills. I had the luxury of the engineers at Wisconsin Public Television, so I'd go out and I would shoot something with the camera and bring it back, and they would say, oh, that's really bad, but here's how you fix it, or if I was stuck, I had that luxury of having somebody to help me out because I did not go to school for film. So, I mean, I had to do it all by learning.
You didn't go back to school. Was that your choice, or was it just not an option for you to go back to school for film?
You know, when I was in college, your parents always try to guide you in the right way. And my father was trying to guide me into a career that would be a safe career. And it is very financially and working with finance is very safe, there's always jobs out there. What happened with me is that because I had a child, I didn't have the luxury of additional time to actually go to school. I mean, I have the support of my family and my friends and everything like that, but I didn't have that luxury to actually be able to go back to school. So what I did was incorporated, you know, I got a part-time job working as a production assistant. I mean, I made $8 an hour, which was nothing. It wasn't that I was working there for the money. I was working there for the experience, and that's how I had to learn. And just, I mean, NAPTI has been a huge supporter of me, and I mean, I can't even thank them enough, you know, to send me and go to different trainings and different stuff like that. And networking, you know, every person that you meet, if you have a problem, you know, go back to those people and talk to those people. And those are the people that are going to help continually develop your skills because technology is changing and you have to keep up with all the technology that's out there.
You mentioned that you work for a nonprofit organization. What's the name of that organization?
I work for Options for Independent Living, and we work with people with disability. My time here has been wonderful, and it's a great experience when you work with a nonprofit agency. It really, truly is a different work environment. You don't get paid as much as for-profit entities, but, you know, there's a trade-off there because, I mean, the flexibility for my position pays off in the long run.
Is there anything you'd like to add as far as your career and what you look forward to doing?
No, I think just the bottom line for people who want to do film and television and writing and is just start doing it. Start, go out, make stupid films. And I mean, I did that. My first film was a film with a dog and a cat. And, of course, my dad had to help me, and oh, I had made him run around and chase these animals with treats. And but, I mean, I finished, and it was funny, and, you know, but you have to keep going and keep adding and keep building. And it's interesting because I start to look back now, and I'm like, wow, I actually completed quite a bit of stuff. This is pretty neat. And I'm going to keep going. That's basically my advice.
All right, thank you for your time, and I appreciate you talking to us. That was Michelle Danforth. Michelle's currently working on a documentary with Frank Blythe and Sid Bean. The film is about the impact the National Indian Lutheran Board had on the civil rights movement and how that translates into today. This summer, she and Patty Lowe will begin production on the film Sacred Stick. Another Danforth film, The Oneida Speak, will be feeding to stations in February. Please contact your local public television station to find out when they'll be scheduling the program. This is Zach Oliva, and I hope you've enjoyed this Eros Native Network producer profile.